in the Wilson family. John was just 16 years of age. He was a know-it-all 16-year-old who, at that time, you know, his mom and dad were making exorbitant amount of money from their business. And he kind of thought that he was entitled to those things. It was a challenging time when Nancy had her accident. That's when I really had to step up to be a dad, not just on cruise control, but a real dad.
Don Wilson.
Hey, Gail, how are you?
I am good, and you, sir?
Doing fine, thank you.
Have I caught you at a good moment?
Sure.
Well, I want you, Don Wilson, to be part of my special for fathers. Will you?
Okay, well, that would be an honor.
Awesome. What's it like to be a father?
What's it like to be a dad, huh? Let's see. One word adjective answers. Humbling, interesting, challenging, fun, frustrating.
Expensive.
Expensive. It's an honor to raise kids and now grandchildren, of course. It's not easy. But then again, nothing in life that's worth anything is easy. And raising kids, there's no neutral. You're either gaining ground with them or you're losing ground with them. And, I think we have done both. I would say both of our girls were easier to raise than John, our son, being the youngest. And sometimes the babies get spoiled, and he was certainly spoiled. And, of course, in our lives, in the Wilson family, John was just 16 years of age. He was a, know-it-all 16-year-old who, at that time, his mom and dad were making exorbitant amount of money from their business. And he kind of thought that he was entitled to those things, which today he realizes that he wasn't. But it was a challenging time when Nancy had her accident when he was 16, like I said. That's when I really had to step up to be a dad, not just on cruise control, but a real dad. I'll never forget this time. We were in the hospital. She had come out of the intensive care unit at Loma Linda Hospital down in San Bernardino, California. So she was back into a private room for rehab. You know, when you go from being married for 25 years plus and you're running around and being crazy, doing wonderful things, traveling the world, and all of a sudden in an instant, Nancy's paralyzed from her waist down. Then, of course, your life changes. And I know that many other people, you had a life-changing decision, of course, as we all know. Other people have, too. And, that was our life changer, when Nancy became a paraplegic. And I remember we were bedside in Nancy's room, and he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Dad, why did God let this happen to Mommy?" Well, if you want to try to figure out how to be a parent, go through a situation like that where your 16-year-old crazy, wonderful, macho son looks at you with tears in his eyes and says, "Why did God let this happen to Mommy?" He was out of control emotionally at that point. So I invited him to go for a ride with me. I think we wound up on Interstate 10, and I just drove with him, and we talked, and I did the best explanation that I could possibly have done. I mean, my heart is shattered for my wife, and, now here my son is saying this. And, all he had known his whole life was, boy, Mom and Dad have kind of this fairy tale lifestyle. They work hard, but, we get to do a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden there is his mom, who he used to just pick up and swing around, be the little boy, the big boy, I guess. All of a sudden he couldn't do that. So that was an interesting time. It's probably the worst time in our lives as a family and as a dad and as a husband, because all you can rely on is your faith in the Lord. these medical people who you have no idea who they are.
What an amazing crossroads and trauma and crisis for your whole family. What is the mobility for Nancy?
Totally paralyzed from the waist down. She's lost a kidney, in the accident. Had severed her spinal cord when one of the 7 broken ribs went through the spinal cord. What else? Punctured the diaphragm, her lungs. The doctor said he couldn't understand how did she keep breathing for as long as she did until we got her to that trauma center. So today, same thing, totally paralyzed. Nancy's in her motorized wheelchair. And,
yeah, she's amazing.
We've been on cruises where she could write a book about the lack of handicap accessibleness in hotels or on cruise ships or on resorts or even in your local store.
So
pretty interesting.
Yeah, so true. Well, Don, beyond that, which that would be enough for a lifetime, let's fast forward a little bit to John and serving in the military. Talk to me about that and what that did to your daddy's heart.
About scared the bejeebies out of my daddy heart. John was a little aimless after Nancy's accident for several years. After high school, didn't want to go to college. All he wanted to do was be a snowboard instructor, ski instructor. And apparently he was a really good one. And, we're surrounded with some of the greatest natural ski areas, I guess, in at least the country, maybe the world. And he was the number one snowboard instructor there. And some celebrities from California used to hire him special to teach their kids. So John was very good at that. But I said to him one day, I said, okay, I don't think I see people who are past 25 who are snowboard instructors. I said, I don't see 35, 45, 55, 65 year old snowboard instructors. I said, do you think you should do something besides snow your whole life? So with that and him getting to mature, realizing that, that wasn't the end to his adult life. So he announced to us that he had enlisted in the Army. Being the thrill seeker that he is, he signed up for whatever duty there was that was the most thrill seeking. He spent a year in Afghanistan looking for the enemy. And some of that time, as a marksman, sometimes he was in a vehicle called a Buffalo, which is a military vehicle that is designed to go out and find and destroy roadside bombs. He spent a year in Afghanistan, came home, hugged his wife and kids. He goes back to Iraq just prior to the end of his deployment in Iraq. He is in a Buffalo, and sure enough, they're out looking for roadside bombs. And unfortunately, a bomb not only hit their vehicle, but it penetrated their vehicle. And the young man sitting right behind John had both of his legs blown off, which somehow in the chaos, John was able to get tourniquets on both of the young man's legs. His name was Nate. But in the process of being blown up, John cracked several vertebrae on the top of his neck. He was medically discharged, came home with a lot of PTSD, as most men and women do when they're in the middle of action in a foreign country. And he came home with not only the PTSD, but he came home with tremendous neck pain because the blast, although he didn't lose any limbs, the blast blew him sideways and cracked several vertebrae up in the top of his neck. So he came home quite miserable, in quite a bit of pain. When this all happened, when he was still there in Iraq, it took him about 2 weeks. He finally got a message to me, and we got on Skype, and he said, Dad, I'm all right, but I just want to tell you what happened physically. But, of course, then he came home, and, today, thanks to a couple of pieces of medical equipment, as I would call them, he is doing better than he's ever done. They had a third baby, three little girls, cutest little things. You know, he has a business of his own. He works full time here at Hill Air Force Base. So he has turned out to be quite the young man from, I would say, even before he was 16, when he was feeling pretty entitled to the point where he was 16 years old and said, "Why did God let this happen to mommy?" to Skyping me and telling me that, you know, he'd been in a vehicle that got blown up there in Iraq, to where they are today. And wow. I know that John and Cassie both have, they have been speakers at military meetings for other military people who have come home with some type of ailments or injuries, and also with the PTSD. So their life has lots of meaning for it today, and I'm excited to, you know, to be his dad. But I mean, I'm as excited to be our two daughters, Suze and Jen. I'm as excited to be their dad as I am John's. It's just, you know, John's been the one that seems to have created more stories through his life here. So
from aimless to full of purpose. Well, what I wanted was your perspective on not only having children, but watching your children go through those aimless times, as well as those times of danger and harm, and then just the crisis that you've been through. I'm sure that when Nancy had her accident, as you said earlier, your view of parenting, like, you had to step up as a father, as a dad.
Sure.
I was just wondering, there's guys who are listening to this today that are dealing with the same thing, but they might be wondering if they've got what it takes to step up. What could you encourage them with?
It's a great question, and the answer is the same, really, for any of us. The first place we turn is to the Lord. If we don't have, you know, the strength that God will carry us through any situation, we're not going to handle a crisis very well. Some people, I don't know, you know, you hear that expression, to whom much is given, much is required. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, wow, okay, why have I been given so much? Because I'm really being required to, you know, to have a lot of faith. I have to step out. But, you know, for any mom or any dad, especially, we're in a world today that is confusing to me. There are things that are going on politically, geopolitically, I guess, here, decisions being made by lower courts or the Supreme Court. And I just scratch my head. I don't think the dads have the chutzpah. I don't think they have the guts. I don't think they have the understanding of why they have to be a dad, you know, why they have to be an example. I think it was Hillary Clinton wrote a book years ago. She said, "It takes a village to raise a child." I never read it because I didn't want to, but I think I can understand that it takes more than just a mom or a dad. But my word, it stops with mom and dad. It starts with mom and dad, and it stops with mom and dad. You know, if a dad can't, you know, put his britches on and zip them up in the front, if a dad doesn't have the responsibility to be a dad, why in the world is he being a dad? And I look at people, and I know, Gail, you and Tony, you know, you talk with tens of thousands of people, and some people, the lack of responsibility is just, it overwhelms them, and they need a dream to be a dad. How can you raise your children better? How can you be a better dad? What do you have to listen to? What do you have to learn? What do you have to do? Turn that stupid TV off and get out and do something. Take a hike with your kids, or, you know, do something with the kids that creates a memory. John and I, when John was, he was probably 10 or 11, we hiked through Zion's National Park, which is down here in southern Utah. He and I still talk about that example of just the two of us walking down, you know, hiking through Zion's National Park. And it's things like that create memories for kids and create examples for kids to be able to follow. The deadbeat dads, you know, why would kids want to listen to them? in a deadbeat dad, and I'm sorry that there are deadbeat dads, and you know, surely we hope that you know you and lots of other people like yourself can resurrect the dream inside those dads, resurrect the responsibility inside of them, and just say, look, okay, these are our kids. We've brought them into this world. Either we're going to run towards them or we're going to run away from them. Then when we run away from them, we just say, well, okay, the government's going to take care of them. The teachers at school will raise them. It's everybody else's responsibility. No, that's not true. You know, these are the types of things that we have to get hold of the men in this country. In each town, each city, each state, we have to have a masculine revival, if you want to call it that, because there are so many men that have just acquiesced. They've just given up. They've just they have sold out to mediocrity. And when adults sell out to mediocrity, well, what do you expect the kids to learn? They're going to learn the same thing.
I'm convinced that a child is going to try to find a dad somewhere. And unfortunately, the culture or the top gang leader or whomever has become the replacement. And you're right. We need men to step up. But Don, that's why so much I wanted to talk with you. I love your perspective, but I also love your honesty that it's challenging. And there have been times when, what'd you say? You move forward, but you've also had some steps backward. And yet you're still in the game. And I love that. And now you've got other generations who are watching your example. Don, would you be so kind to pray for those dads listening today? And also for the moms who are discouraged because the one they're married to won't step up. Would you pray for the families at large and just encourage them?
Sure. Sure, I'd be happy to. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you right now. Lord, wherever we are, physically, emotionally, mentally, in our lives. Lord, we turn our faces to you. We pray to you, Father God, that you will touch the dads in this country. Give them what they individually need and what we all need, because I certainly need more. Every dad needs more. More of you, Lord. More strength. And also more weakness, to know when it's okay to cry, but to know when it's time to be strong, when it's time to take a stand. Lord, we pray for every mom, every dad, Lord. And Father, we understand that for the wives out there who are frustrated and they watch TV and they see all these good-looking, hunky men that, are perfect on TV. Lord, that is not their husband. There's none of us out here that are like that. We are just simple people. We are sinners saved by grace. But, Father, we pray for all these people. Lord, lift these men up. Comfort their wives. Give their wives patience. Give their wives the wisdom to find either a person or a place that is going to help that husband, who in turn can help their children. Lord, we pray that this all can come to pass. Lord, we are very nervous about our country right now. We are scared right now, Lord. But we know, Father, you are Father God, and you will do all things. And we can do things as human beings. We can do all things through you that strengthen us. And we ask for the strength and the boldness for every dad and for every mom that is listening today. And we lift you up, we praise you, we congratulate you, and we want you to know that you are a winner. And don't ever let anybody tear you down. We say all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Don Wilson, thank you so much today for your perspective, not only on fatherhood, but sharing your story. This is Gail, and I'm wondering if you're looking for some music that would quiet your soul and inspire you. May I suggest a beautiful musical CD entitled Hope in the Waiting? You can find this CD at gailmcwilliams.com/tools or go to iTunes and look under Holly McWilliams, the project Hope in the Waiting.